Welcome to the Gio and Jones After Party on Play.it. Here are Andrew Bogish, Mike Basiglia, and Pete Bellotti. Welcome to my house. Play that music too now. Show me what you do now.
We don't have to go out. It is the Gio and Jones After Party. The three of us, usually not named Gio and Jones, from the Gio and Jones radio show on CBS Sports Radio, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. Find us on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, CBSSportsRadio.com or the Radio.com app. I'm Andrew. He's Pete. No Mike Basiglia. This is a pain-free edition of the After Party. Hello, Pete.
He's not here. He is here, but he can't be here.
Yeah, this is a whole thing that we were just discussing before hitting record on this podcast, is that today, as we're sitting here, it's Thursday. It's roughly 8 hours away from the beginning of the NFL draft, and the Gio and Jones have the privilege of working three shows in like 27 hours this morning, like normal, coming back tonight from 8 to midnight Eastern for 4 hours across the network on extra affiliates more than usual, a draft show, every pick of the draft, instant analysis with our friends from Westwood One helping out as well, and then coming right back from midnight Eastern to 6 a.m. Eastern to do Gio and Jones like normal. And Mike is down the hallway 100 feet from us doing prep work for that show. Now, on a number of fronts, he should be here, if we're being honest.
He should.
It's what, a 20-minute endeavor? He has 20
even,
minutes right now.
Not even. He should be here talking about his coughing, his ADD.
He's house hunting in New Jersey. Right. We could ask him questions about that.
A lot of important topics that we need to get to with Mr. Basiglia, but he has decided not to, and he's decided to spurn us and not be a part of the program. And I really am devastated by it.
You're not devastated. If the one thing you're not is devastated.
Tears are flowing down my cheeks. I'm chafing.
Enough with the chafing references. It's two in a row.
I am chafing. I really am. It's really bothering me. It's really bothering me.
Well, he should be here because my assumption is, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's a good assumption, and I'm probably right, and you should have the same assumption as I do,
okay,
is that Mike is doing things right now within 8 hours of showtime that could have been done before today to allow him to either A, be here for this podcast, or B, be at the hotel napping, having right. lunch, resting before two shows in, what is that, 10 hours?
Well, yeah, you don't. It's like when you take a test. When you take a big test, you don't want to cram it all in the hour before.
Yeah.
You want to get some rest. You want to have some breakfast. You want to relax. And I think that's what needs to happen because it'll keep him in tip-top shape when he needs to be in tip-top shape, and that's later. And if you look at this draft, really the top two is really where the action is to start, so at least you know what those first two picks are. And at this point, it should just be him just checking the wires to see if there's any rumors or anything like that coming out, not pacing.
Yes, he should be
looking.
Smoothing out the show, tying up the loose ends, and he's actually doing like hardcore prep work that should have been, could have been done
now,
before today.
Here's my question.
I'm all ears.
Is the hardcore prep work...
Yeah.
Something that's needed? The work that he's doing now, you think it's stuff that is needed?
Yeah.
Or it's stuff that he could go without?
Well, the last thing I saw him doing was putting together the binders that have all of the player bios in it. So when somebody gets picked or somebody comes up in conversation, Greg and Brian can go right to that page and find that Jalen Ramsey has good hips but bad ankles or Eli Apple can't cook.
Mm-hmm. Now, you can't.
Again, on a number of, you know, I was going to say, let's not be mean to Mike because he's not here, but who cares? Now, I know for a fact that he got all of that bio information from CBS Sports Network's research people. He was going to get it from me because I had to do it to voice over the little intro things you're going to hear tonight on the show. When someone's going to be picked, you're going to hear me say, Jared Goff, quarterback, Cal. so he was going to use that research. He was never going to do his own research. Mm-hmm. He got a print, basically a Word document. All he had to do was print it out, copy it, have somebody punch holes in it and put it into two binders or three binders and give it to Brian and Greg, and he's just doing it right now. Mm-hmm. And he's had it for more than a week.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of this stuff, I mean, a lot of stuff is a lot of forward thinking from maybe a month. Maybe a month ago, starting to plant the seeds. But, you know, I mean, he's his own little quirky character. We know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has his own method to his madness. And we'll see. We'll see. He will be burned out by 4 a.m. tomorrow or 5 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I won't. You and I won't be here to see it. I'm not a part of the show at all. You are a part of it via tape.
Yes, from a distance.
From a distance. And we'll see what happens tomorrow. But I'm sure there'll be a lot of gems, much like the Packers pick last year. And I think if you need your bet, if you need draft coverage, this is the place to go to. CBS Sports Radio will have wall-to-wall coverage with Gio and Jones.
Now, that being said, when the first time you hear this, the draft will have happened, so you can't actually go from here to listen to the show.
We did. We did have coverage.
We did. It was great. It was awesome.
We had great coverage.
Remember that time Brian said that thing?
That's right. That
great.
Thing. And we played it this morning.
Yeah.
That thing.
Oh, my God. That was so funny. Oh, and what a pick the Giants made. Oh, the Jets are terrible. And Paxton Lynch died that one time during the draft. That was crazy.
I know. And then he was revived.
Right, by Laremy Tunsil.
That's right.
In a, you know, kind of left tackle, quarterback, protecting kind of thing. It was very apropos to the draft. So, yeah, it's just
all
me.
That.
It's just me and Bilotti this week here on the after party. Now, connected to the draft, I want to back away from something that I said with conviction on this podcast a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
It is not. I continue to believe firmly that if given 50 shots within the confines of an NBA game, a la Kobe Bryant, I could score 20 points, including free throws, in said NBA game. I think I said in defending myself that I could probably run for a couple of yards in an NFL game based on my offensive linemen opening up holes for me to run through. I have since thought about that and realized that even if they did open holes for me, my lack of speed would be the issue. And the holes would close up quickly, somebody would be there, and I would probably die at first contact.
No, look.
So I'm taking that off the table.
No.
I can still score 20 in the NBA.
No, you can't, because I went to a source.
You went to a source.
I went to a good source.
Uh-huh.
I went to somebody who played very well in high school.
So not me.
Not you. I went to Peter Sr.,
Peter
Bilotti Sr.
was a good high school player.
He played basketball. He played baseball. He was a very good athlete.
Division high school?
No, he was in Deer Park.
Ooh,
he was based out of Deer Park.
Okay,
so yeah, I went to him and I said, my colleague, my friend Andrew Bogish, said he could make 20 shots.
Wait. You have to introduce me like fully to your dad. You can't just go home and say, guess what Andrew did today?
I'm just embellishing
for
the purpose of our podcast.
You got me scared there. I thought me and Mr. Bilotti were tight.
No, you guys are tight. So I said the same scenario that you said, and he said, you're nuts. He said he couldn't even make, he said he may be able to make free throws. Maybe three free throws.
I still feel like in transition on putbacks, I could sneak a couple of hoops in.
Over NBA players that are 7 feet tall?
They're not going to be around me.
Oh, they're, come on.
I'm going to sneak
past
them.
What are going to sit on the, you're not going to sneak past them.
Yeah.
They're giants.
I'm quick. I'm little.
And then you think you're going to score a touchdown?
No, I take that off the board. The NFL one is off the board. Off the board completely. I'm not physically capable of doing that.
You better be off the board because you don't have the size.
Yeah, NFL's off the board. In honor of the NFL draft, I'm taking my NFL aspirations off the table.
You actually would be better as a receiver than running on the line.
No chance. I would never, ever, ever be open. And if I was open, I would never make a catch.
All you have to do is leap.
I'm 5'9" and 3/8", and with no jumping ability. There is no leaping.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could work on it.
Nah, I'm out. NFL's. Don't help me back into this.
Look, it goes back to our what we were talking about at one point about females entering the four majors.
Yes.
And you said that basketball would be...
That's the one.
The one.
100%.
I say baseball because I feel like there's more individuality in baseball where you can... not get away with certain things, but be able to excel better. And, like in the NBA, I mean, you could be the best female player in the WNBA. It's a different type of defense, different type of physicality when it comes to the NBA, and I think that's just a tough transition.
I can envision a female player not having to worry about like with myself. Not having to worry all the time about the physicality of the NBA. I mean, I've seen Division I college basketball, women college basketball players on the court with Division I men's players. And of course, at some point, the 6'10" center is an issue. But perimeter play to me, there's clearly a difference, and the average size and the average strength certainly favors the men's side. If you went right now and picked out somebody from the WNBA, and I don't even know who it would be, right? Maya Moore.
Pick out.
Maya Moore gonna score some points in an NBA game, no doubt.
Pick out the center that just got drafted.
No, I don't.
What's her name? From UConn.
Breonna Stewart. She would score points in an NBA game.
But would she be able to play in the paint with some of these centers?
She doesn't have to.
She has to. She's going to play in the NBA. She's going to have to play both ends.
There are people in the NBA that are spot up shooters.
Yeah, but
they go back to the bench after a little bit. And they, on occasion they dribble past Dwight Howard and pass out.
So you mean just any player like just a bench player, someone like that?
Yeah, somebody good enough to be in the NBA.
All right, I'm looking at it as a starter. Who? Of the four sports, I think the best chance you can have for a female to start in one of the four major sports is baseball.
No, I still think that a guard, a female guard, would have a shorter path to playing regularly in the NBA.
I think that's tough. I mean, I think it's similar to the college basketball team beating the worst NBA team. I don't think that everyone says,
Right, would Kentucky beat the Sixers?
Can beat the Sixers. They can't beat the Sixers. These guys are pro players.
Right, but we're talking about one person getting in there, not matching up top to bottom, needing 12 pros against two pros and 10 college kids. We're talking about, and don't forget, if this becomes reality, we're talking about somebody who is going to have freakish abilities to jump over whatever... natural gaps there are in terms of skill and size and whatever. You got to imagine this is somebody who is double special.
Right.
And to me...
I don't like saying freakish because that's not what we're talking about. Someone of that ilk.
They're going to be unique. They're going to have a significant whatever athletically and body type wise. And even short of that, I just think that somebody could hang in an NBA game, and not as a starter, which may be why we're so different here. But somebody who deserves and belongs and can play and is not any kind of a gimmick. And I think that a female could play guard in the NBA well enough before someone could play well enough to play baseball, to make throws, to hit a 95-mile-per-hour fastball. I would think anything else, the rest of the games make such a big jump physically. I think that, that makes them less likely.
Look, I think one of the points I'm trying to make along with, I think there will be females in all the four sports. I do think it will happen.
Really?
I do think it will happen. Maybe not the NFL. Maybe I'll just say three. NFL is very different. I just think it's, you don't have other leagues that are for females. I mean, you have leagues that females play football in, but it's not to the extent of college football or the NFL. So I'll say hockey, basketball, and baseball. You'll get a female in those sports. I think baseball's first, but I think the female athlete, like you said, it has to be unique to get into the other two sports, more so than baseball. I think you can show off what an average player in softball can possibly make it onto a 25-man roster if, you know, the timing is right.
Well, I don't have anywhere near the confidence that you and I are going to see it.
I think we will.
I'm 36 and you're whatever.
I think we will. I think we will. I think within the next 20 years you'll get it.
Really?
And I think it's great if it happens. You know, but we'll see. I mean, but it's back to our original point that you have no ability.
Yeah, let's go back to that nonsense, not this deep conversation about gender roles and rules and breaking down barriers and evolution and whatnot.
But you can't. You can't.
I still think I could score if you give me 50 shots. I can make 10 of them.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
It's impossible. I mean, look.
You know, come to think of it, I scored 1 point my freshman year of high school basketball. Then I scored 19 as a sophomore. That's probably a New York City record.
Yeah, but come on.
In terms of not the number jump, the 18-point jump, but the percentage jump from 1 to 19. I mean, that's astronomical.
It is.
It's got to mean something for my NBA future. It's got to mean something.
It's not happening. No.
Thanks for your support, Pete.
You're welcome.
Speaking of more nonsense, what's the latest in the wrestling world?
What is the latest in the wrestling world? The WrestleMania hangover.
Yeah, it's like the title, like winning the Stanley Cup hangover. It's very similar.
Well, they're getting ready for the next big pay-per-view in terms of WrestleMania type will be in August. Will be SummerSlam, and that will be in Barclays Center.
Really, right? Really? That's exciting for you.
They'll do a 3-day weekend. Might not be here. I might be away, but that's what they're building toward. They're doing other events along the way. They're bringing in a lot of new wrestlers into WWE. So, you know, it's actually fun to watch, you know?
You know what I found out?
What'd you find out?
Somebody that I knew growing up that was at the same, went to my same school, not in my same year, is a wrestler.
Who is that?
Big Cass.
Oh, yes. He is in the WWE.
He's from Glendale in Queens.
He's a big guy.
He's a big guy. Apparently, he has a somewhat bright future. I don't know anything about that.
He's in a tag team right now.
Right.
With Enzo. Oh. Enzo Amore.
Yes, right, right. Enzo.
And they were fighting in a tag team title tournament on Raw. Night Raw. So he just got called up. He got called up the night I was in Dallas, the night after WrestleMania. He got called up to the main roster on Raw.
Okay. Let's go. Let's debate that further. Called up to the main roster.
Well, they have NXT, which is their minor league development.
Okay.
And it's actually very popular.
Sounds like
they did. They toured with show. They mm-hmm. did shows in Brooklyn. They do shows usually off the big pay-per-views in smaller arenas. The night before, the day before.
Now, is this also scripted or is this actual wrestling?
This is the same type.
All predetermined.
Right, but it's the young guys that are signed to developmental deals.
Okay.
And your buddy was signed to a developmental deal, and they put him in, and they hone their craft in NXT, and then they get called up to WWE when they're ready.
Can you be sent back to NXT if you don't follow the script and do something that you're not supposed to in the match?
It's not as direct as that. You could get sent back to NXT to get to tune up mm-hmm. a new character. They want to repackage you and make you another character.
Okay.
They'll send you back to NXT, maybe take some time off, and they'll put you back on TV as a new character. That's what that developmental system is. It's very popular. It's become a very popular show, let alone a developmental system.
I know his real name. Do wrestlers keep their real names a secret? Like, you're not supposed to know who they actually are?
Well, I think now with the internet, you know.
Because his name is not either Big nor Cass. That's not a real name at all.
It's not.
Nor is it even, like, derivative of his actual name.
Well, the name he technically is on TV is Colin Cassidy.
Oh, okay. Not his real name.
That's not his real name.
No, not even close.
They very rarely now put guys on, unless they were Olympic athletes that
were already famous.
That people know.
Right.
They very rarely put a guy on TV. Like, look at Ric Flair's daughter, Megan Flair.
Mm-hmm.
No, Ashley Flair. Her name's Ashley Flair. Ashley Flair, her name on TV is Charlotte.
Even though everyone knows that her real name is
everyone
Ashley.
Everyone doesn't know. She was on TV a couple times as Ashley Flair.
Right.
But her stage name is Charlotte.
Is Charlotte Flair or just Charlotte?
Charlotte. North Carolina.
Okay. And she wrestles, or she just looks attractive?
She wrestles. She's the Divas champion.
Divas
champion. They got rid of that term.
Okay.
It's the women's.
Yeah, that's not really
women's champion.
Respectful.
Women's champion.
Mm-hmm. And the Divas champion.
Well, it was the Divas champion, and then they retired it at WrestleMania.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, but no, they don't. It's very rare that they go by their real name.
Cassidy actually is in the same neighborhood
of where his name is.
Yeah, of his real name. It sounds, has the same kind of sound to it.
Okay.
But I had no idea, and I don't remember him being big, but now he's huge.
He is huge.
He's big.
The first night they were on Raw, he came out, and they were, they cut a promo on the Dudley Boys. And the Dudley Boys are legends.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really getting a push.
New glossary check. What does cut a promo on mean?
Cut a promo, you know, talk about. They come out on TV.
Oh,
cut a promo. They'll talk about their
they
next
talk
match.
They talk smack about
smack,
these guys?
Oh, smack, yes.
To whoever is the mean Gene Okerlund of this era?
Or sometimes, a lot of times, lately, they do it by themselves.
They're just standing there at a microphone, and they get cued, and they start talking smack.
They come out through music or...
Wow.
So sometimes they're interviewed.
The things I'm missing.
Sometimes they're interviewed. A lot of times they come out on their own.
Do you want to make a prediction for who your team takes tonight? See if you're right next week?
Oh, no. I don't want to make a prediction. I actually think they're going to make a trade.
To go up or back?
To go up.
Really?
Yeah.
For a quarterback?
I do. Because if Tiki Barber's thought is correct that the
Tiki's dead to us. Tiki, one of three people that said no to this podcast this week.
The Eagles may not select a quarterback.
Oh, they're taking a quarterback.
If they don't, I think the Jets will trade up and get a quarterback.
If Howie Roseman does not take a quarterback tonight, he should quit his job and stay in Chicago.
Well, I mean,
they better not do that.
I actually didn't think it was possible when Tiki was talking about it.
But right.
Then as the show went on, it makes more sense.
So just to recap, there is no Mike Bisignan today because he's terrible at his job, and he's only now getting ready for a draft show, which kicks off in just more than 7.5 hours. And he was too busy to come on with us. So we asked Tiki Barber. He's also too busy, but legitimately busy, so okay. We asked Dave Marinick, who's the number two person here at CBS Sports Radio, and he has no voice. And that's not really helpful for a podcast. Then we asked Tom DeCelestino, who is the number one unhappiest person here. and just in general, not specifically or all-inclusively with the company, but just his general lot in life has Tom in a bad spot. We thought we'd have some fun with that, but he's also too busy to come on with us.
I'm actually very happy. I don't know why.
General?
Yeah.
No, everyone knows why. You've got a girlfriend.
Yes, yes.
That's what it is.
She's actually been away.
Come on, you can read you like an open book.
She was in Key West.
Was she?
Week. Yes.
Doing what?
Because the teachers have off.
That's right.
This week. So she was with her friends in Key West, just relaxing on the beach.
Yeah, see, it's a big night. Every Thursday now, my daughter takes ice skating lessons. And instructor is a teacher during the day and is on vacation this week because... everyone here in New York City and Long Island is off this week. And my daughter's falls a lot because first time she's been ice skating.
Not Olympic skating.
And she loves this girl and just needs her. So I'm afraid that she's going to have a bad night tonight because her name is Lindsay.
How about you take the night off?
Can't do that. Can't miss a class.
Too much money?
Yeah, and you really, it's hard to make up, so we'll go, she'll be fine.
Okay.
She's got new skates for this
one. Wow.
We found skates for her.
Never was able to do the ice skating.
You tried and failed?
I just have no coordination with, the roller skating and the ice skating.
I need to see you. Let's take a road trip. I need to see you on skates. I'm not much better, so it's not like we're going to be able too much fun.
I'll try it.
All right.
I'll try it again, but
I'll talk
not going to be good. It might be better.
You know, the crazy thing is the rink is where the Islanders are going to start practicing full-time.
Oh,
Eisenhower Park in Long Island. And I'm standing there the other day, and I'm just kind of, I try not to actually watch her skate because I feel like it, because then she looks at me and...
She gets distracted.
Yeah, so I try and, walk away a little bit and come back so she sees me every once in a while, but not, stand there and, watch her. So I'm walking around, and there's a bulletin board with all these different things that go on at the rink. And I look and it says New York, and so it's all Islander branded. It's New York Islander hockey instructors. And I'm assuming, I've seen people get, you can get like one-on-one lessons from people.
All right.
Looking on the list, it's all no one I know, random people with their email and their cell phone. The very last name is Aaron Asham. And if you're not a huge hockey fan, Aaron Asham,
former Islander,
former Ranger, former Devil, former Flyer, a fighter, a tough guy. So if you know him, you probably are smiling right now because you know him and you like him because he's a hockey player. And there's Aaron Asham, cell phone, email. And I'm like, it's cool that he's doing that. But I was like I want to just text him, like, hey, man.
Right.
Like, and then. And
shouldn't they know, too, not to put that name public as possible?
Unless people are respectful of Aaron Asham's space. But my wife wasn't because we're walking out. This is 2 weeks ago when I saw his name on the list. Last week, we're walking out, and she and my daughter are ahead of me and my son. And she keeps talking, looking back to talk to me. And here comes Aaron Asham out of the building as well on a diagonal. And they are, he's on his phone. He sees her, I think assumes that she's going to stop moving towards him, and she doesn't. And they are two steps away from like a hip check.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, Kate, and I stop. I'm like, if you're gonna bump into someone here, don't bump into the former NHL player.
Right.
You're not going to win that battle.
That's right.
Bump into Lindsay.
Yes.
The kindergarten teacher who's just helping our daughter,
you.
Or me, but I wouldn't bump into Aaron Asham.
Oh.
But that's my goal. We have like 5 weeks left. Me and Aaron Asham need to be tight.
Okay.
We need to be buddies. We need this thing to happen.
Do you think it will happen?
Probably not.
All right. Well, but good
probably
to, it's
not.
Good to hope.
Right? It's good to have goals.
It is.
That's what I think. My goal now is to eat lunch.
Right. My goal now is to eventually eat lunch.
And then go home. And yeah, so we're done. I hope. This is going to be weird because you're not going to actually, this is all going to happen in a weird space-time continuum. Hasn't happened yet, but by the time you hear this, you will have heard it, hopefully. Hopefully you like the Gio and Jones draft special on CBS Sports Radio. A full breakdown of all of that mayhem, and I'm sure a long list of Mikey B mess-ups, both before, during, and after said show. On next week's After Party, check out all previous editions right below this one. I'm Play.it on iTunes as well. Shameless plug for me, while you're on Play.it, check out Bogus at the Play.
Very shameless.
Very shameless. First time I'm doing it, though, so give me credit for that. That's Pete for Mike. I'm Andrew. Check out Gio and Jones weekday morning, 6 to 9. Those are numbers. AM Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on CBS Sports Radio, CBSSportsRadio.com, and the Radio.com app. We'll see you again soon at the After Party.